All right, so what are the three things that you need to work on if you are trying to break 80? I'm going to tell you what those three things are so that when you're practicing, you're actually practicing the right areas of the game that are going to move your score. So the big question is this: how do passionate golfers like you and I develop a stock shot day in and day out? A stock shot that's as reliable as the sun coming up in the morning. That's the question, and this podcast is the answer. Welcome to Stock Shot Secrets. So breaking 80, I did a series with Mark Brody back in the day, and it was a Golf Digest article that you could see, and it was all about KPIing your game, right? So KPIs are the key performance indicators of, you know, what are the things that you need to have as key performance indicators to actually move your handicap from one level to the next. So, like, we've been going through, like, what are the KPIs to breaking 100? What are the KPIs to breaking 90? And today, we are doing breaking 80. There's also a video series of this on Golf Digest that you guys can check out, and kind of talking through some of these things in video format, and you guys can go look at that in Golf Digest School. I think it's School of Golf. But anyways, on going into the actual numbers of what are going to change your game, right? So with breaking 80, first and foremost, there is a really, really big thing that you need to do, and I think it's something that everybody wants to do, and that is hit it farther, right? So there is actually a dramatic correlation between if you can hit it over 250 yards and breaking 80. Those two things are very correlated to one another, according to Mark Brody and all of the stats that have now been out. And that's the cool thing about this stuff, right? Like, you got guys like Mark Brody, you've got like Arcos, you've got Clipped, you've got, you know, like all these different stats programs, Decade, and all of these things, to where now with these ideas of what are the things that we need to do to actually work on, there's really no guessing, right? Like the dispersion of like thought patterns of like, what's most important? Is it really drive for show and putt for dough? Like, which actually has been proven a little bit to be not true, but that's for another discussion. Is driving it over 250 yards is really important. Now, the question is also relative to how far you want to play, or how far the distance of the course you play. So I want to give you, like, also to make sure that you are also playing the right distance. And it's kind of a cool little, like, exercise that you can do. So if you take, so for me, for example, I'm going to have my little calculator here. If you take your 5-iron distance, so I hit a 5-iron 195 yards. So if you take your 5-iron and then you times that by 36, that is about the distance that is recommended for you to play golf, be challenged, have fun, so on and so forth. So for me, that's 7,020 yards. That is the courses that I like to play, which is probably why if I go play a course that's like 6,800, I'm like, man, this is great. I can go shoot a low score. And then if it's 72, I'm like, oh, this is so long. Like, this isn't even fun, right? But I find a lot of times, like, on the lesson tee with teaching with players, I'm like, hey, how far do you hit your 5-iron? And they're like, I hit it 165. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, what yardages are do you play? They're like, play about 6,500. I'm like, no, you need to be playing 5,900, right? 5,940, actually, to be honest. So taking your 5-iron distance, timesing it by 36 is a good way to figure out, like, what are the actual yardages that you should be playing when you're playing golf, right? And then actually, I find I'd rather play 6,800 than 7,200 because I want to have fun, right? Like, I don't want to go out and, like, just feel like I am just, like, sloshing around and, like, just carrying a 400-pound weight behind my shoulders. Like, I want to go out. I want to be able to hit some drivers. I want to hit some wedges. I'm going to hit some long irons and maybe into some par fives and, like, you know, so on and so forth. But I do not want to be playing a course. I mean, I remember going down to play Isleworth with Mitch, one of my instructors. He's like, let's go play the Tiger Tees at Isleworth. I'm like, bro, that's, like, 7,900 yards. It's, like, driver 4-iron into every green. It's, like, that sounds miserable, right? But he liked it, so we did it. And it was very long. So the first thing is hitting drivers over 250 yards. Now, the question you go is, well, Kyle, like, how do you do that, right? How do you hit it over 250 yards? I don't want to just tell you. It's like, what are some action steps that we can actually do, right? So one thing is, obviously, what is the three determining factors that create speed, right? And these are not Kyle Morrisisms. These are just what are they are. So the three determining factors that create speed is, first, is the length of hand path. So that is the length of the backswing. So if I take my backswing just to my belt, I'm not going to hit it very far. So like Tony Finau has a short backswing, but and John Rahm, but they hit it far, but they don't hit it far because of their short backswing. They hit it far despite their short backswing. If they made a bigger backswing, they would hit it farther, right? A little bit of common sense. The second thing is the amount of hand speed within this like 18-inch corridor of your downswing. So the faster you can accelerate your hand path, the faster the club will go. Also, kind of common sense, right? If I wanted to throw a med ball, I would, I would take the med ball and I would throw the med ball. And if I want to go harder, I would speed up my hand so the ball would go faster, right? So that's the second thing. The third thing is the amount of pressure that you put into your lead foot when the shaft is vertical in the downswing. So I think if I remember right, it's like a 75-80% correlation between how much you push into the ground, and then because then once I push into the ground, by pushing to the ground at shaft vertical, I can then push out of the ground, and then there's a ton of centrifugal force down at the bottom that creates a lot of speed. So it's the length of your hand path, the speed of your hand path, and the amount of pressure that you put down into your ground in the lead foot. So that all comes down to like, well, how do you get those things to be farther, right? So like if you come to the golf room and you do like an experience, or like if you do one of our fitness evaluations in the VIP program online, we measure all of that stuff. We can even do that stuff through like Facebook, and or not Facebook, through like FaceTime and all these evaluations, right? But long story short, we can measure how fast and how explosive you are and get really, really close to how far you should actually hit it, right? I had a player that was in the other day, and he swung his driver at 95 miles an hour. He's like, I need to swing it faster. I need to swing it at 102 miles an hour. And we looked at his power numbers, and they were 14, 15, and 15, or 14, 15, and 14. And I was like, man, I'm sorry, but like 95, like, that's all you got. Like, that's as fast as the car is going to run right now, no matter how efficient your golf swing gets, right? So the only way for you to hit it farther is you get stronger. Good news. So I'm in the gym this morning at 7 a.m. at the golf room. So that was great, right? So that's the first thing, distance. The second thing is that we need to improve our approach proficiency. So essentially the proximity to the hole. So there is a reason why at the time of this podcast being recorded, Scottie Scheffler just won the Tour Championship, right? Surprise, right? This guy is amazing, and he is amazing because he is a better ball striker. He hits more stock shots than anybody right now on the PGA Tour. He is amazing. He's leading the tour in ball striking. He hits like, I don't know what it is, 75% of greens, which is a ton, and that makes him shoot lower scores. If you have a lot of looks at birdie, like, you're going to play better, right? It's very obvious. Hey guys, I hope you are enjoying this episode of the Stock Shots Secrets podcast. If you are enjoying it, be sure to like this episode. Be sure to subscribe so you can always see when they are coming out. And most importantly, if you would be so kind to be able to share this podcast with other passionate golfers who are trying to get better and build stock shots, because it grows through you sharing it. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now back to Stock Shot Secrets. So the question is then the proximity. And this proximity piece is very interesting because many times when we're having, like when we're doing on-course playing lessons, like I'm doing one this afternoon, and I'll sit there and I'm like, okay, you're 150 yards away, right? Like, how far do you think you should hit this from 150 yards? And like, I think like 12 feet would be good. I'm like, what? No, that would be amazing. But that, like, what is the number that is good enough? So if you just look at the KPI stats, and this might be very, very enlightening for you. If you look at this, players who are breaking 80, right? Or I'm sorry, players who are shooting in the 80s, the average proximity from 125 to 150 yards is 42 feet. By contrast, the 90 golfers, the players who are shooting in the 90s, they're 56 feet, and the scratch golfers are 32 feet. So scratch are 32, the players who shoot in the 80s are 42, right? And then the players who shoot in the 90s are 56. So if you could go out and you can measure, great program to use this is Clipped. That's C-L-I-P-P-D. Clipped will allow you to essentially, you'll mark all the stuff and you'll do your stats, and you can figure out what your average proximity is when you hit a green. Or you could kind of, you know, you could pencil it and then take the average at the end, right? You could just walk the steps. But if you want a fancy-smancy technology that will kind of help you do it and walk along with you, Clipped is a great one to go with. But the truth is that to break 80, we need to have that proximity from 125 to 175, which is a lot of the shots that you guys are going to be hitting. We need that proximity to be under 40 feet. That's the goal, right? Right now, if you looked at and you're shooting 85, you're probably around 42, 43, 44 feet, right? If you're doing better than that, but you're still shooting the 80s, well, there's probably your short game sucks, or maybe you're not hitting it far enough. Well, I guess if you're hitting greens and you're hitting it close, maybe you're not hitting as many greens because this is just about proximity. It's not about the quantity of greens. So that's where, you know, even programs like Clipped can do a great job because they will show you what to work on and what are the KPIs in your game that you need to hit to move the needle, right? Like, what are the knobs that you need to turn? And if I move this knob, like, the spigot opens up and, like, I shooting lower scores, right? That's everyone's tailored. But this is like a 10,000-foot view of all 80s golfers. So we have, I need to hit it over 250 yards. And when I'm hitting greens, I need to average under 40 feet, right? So now, the third thing is that we need to increase the amount of one putts that you have in a round of golf. So the 80 shooters have one putts about 5.6 times per round. So guys who are shooting 85, they're one putting 5 to 6 times around, right? That's kind of what they're doing. Really, we'll call it five. Compared to the 100 shooter, they're 3.8, right? So it's very important that for the KPI to move you into the 80s, the goal that we're going to set is we need to have 6 1 putts in a round. If you can have more than 6 1 putts in a round, then you're kind of setting yourself based upon historical average to be able to break 80. If you have 3, well, then you're have as many one putts as 100 shooter, right? So, like, that's a problem. So this is kind of allows us to see, like, hey, what are the things in your game that you actually need to work on? And then, because listen, time is tough. It's tough to practice, right? I practiced last week. I'll probably maybe be able to squeeze out like maybe an hour this weekend. So, I mean, I'm practicing, being really transparent with you guys. I'm probably practicing like once, twice a week. But I will say, and we just did an entire webinar on this because it was like something that was really on my heart this past week, was I want to make sure that when you guys are practicing, you're actually practicing the things that matter, right? The things that are actually going to change your swing. It always breaks my heart when I see guys on the range and they're working on, they're practicing and they're like, let's say they're hitting 7 irons or whatever. I'm like, bro, like, you know, this isn't going to change your swing at all. And it's not going to change your score. And the swing you're practicing is like, that's not the swing you want, which is why you need feedback. And then you got to send a video so you can get constant contact and like make sure you're doing it right. Like, something I'm obviously super, super passionate about. So we want to make sure that when you're practicing, you're actually practicing the right thing. And if you are breaking, if you are shooting in the 80s and you do not have stats like on Clip that you can say, what is it that you're working on? Just based upon the averages, right, you need to hit drives over 250 yards. You need to improve your approach proficiency, like the proximity of the hole, to be under 40 feet. And you need to have 6 or more one putts per round. And you go, well, Kyle, you didn't tell me, you know, you told me about some of the speed stuff, right? Like, what are the things that create speed? We didn't really talk about the program to do that, right? You can, we would love to build that for you. But the proximity, that's like the same thing as like, we just got to get your golf swing better, right? Which you can always do it like Stock Shot Club and send us unlimited videos and we get back to you. And it's, you know, it's, well, it starts for free and then it's $40 a month. But then you can also, and then you also have like, how do you do the one putts? So the one putts, you know, with one putts, you're obviously talking about probably improving your putting inside 8 feet, which really comes down probably more than anything with face rotation in the club face, because the club face and putting determines 93% of where the ball goes. So we need to stabilize the face, right? So the average, it's kind of a crazy, another, I don't know all these numbers, I'm just a numbers guy. So like the average college amateur, when they're taking their putter back and through, they will rotate the face 25 to 28 degrees, which is quite a bit. The average tour player, on the other hand, will be somewhere between 6 and 12. So like that's a big difference in face rotation relative to the target line. So we need to reduce the amount of rotation, which is why if you're following on Instagram and you see us doing those putting arcs with the clips, right, that keeps the face angle square to the arc so that the face, you'll basically never miss. I mean, if you miss a 6-footer with a putting arc and clip, that's like falling off a bike with training wheels. Like, you should literally never miss ever. But it's a great thing to do. Like, I have one in my closet, and like when I go to like change or whatever, like I'll be like, all right, I gotta make my putting arc and clip things, right? Because I'm trying to get in practice like when I can. So and then you also have, you know, that's kind of working on that piece. Then you obviously got to make sure your speed's good and your reading is good. And then you can also build in like some competition games, you know, like 15, 15, 15, or, you know, around the horn, like 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, like do some things to kind of earn your way off the course. So you're going through your program block, random compete. But these are the KPIs that you need to break 80, hitting it over 250 yards, proximity inside 40 feet, and one putt more than six times per round. If you're doing that, then you're putting a big dent in that ability to break 80. And now I want you guys to come back because I'm going to talk about something of like maybe for the elite golfer, maybe not for everybody, but I think it's fun because it's probably never talked about very much. And we didn't talk about it in that Golf Digest article, but what are the KPIs to actually breaking 70, right? Like what are those guys needing to do? Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to the latest episode of Stock Shot Secrets. Now, as a listener of Stock Shot Secrets, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to get better. So if you were to go to StockShotClub.com, I'm going to give you 7 days free access where you can send us your video and we will give you personalized individual attention as to what you need to do so that you can start building stock shots. So just go to StockShotClub.com and register there. We'll give you 7 days free where you can try it. And then if we like it, you can stay inside the Stock Shot Club where we can become your coach and walk with you for your entire journey. Thank you so much. And be sure to go visit StockShotClub.com.